I'm Aaron Schachter, and it's The World. Myanmar, also known as Burma, is no longer the police state it was just a few years ago. These days, there's something resembling a civilian government in place. There's even a general election scheduled for November. But just two or three years ago, pro-democracy activists operated undercover.
These are people that are fighting for the right to carry a USB key and not be thrown in prison for 7 years for it, the right to put a poster on the wall.
That's Delphine Schrenk. She's the former Burma correspondent for The Washington Post. Schrenk first traveled to Myanmar in 2008, when it was, for the most part, sealed off from foreign scrutiny. And over the course of several years, she won the trust of dissidents there. She tells the story of their efforts to end military rule in her new book, The Rebel of Rangoon, a tale of defiance and deliverance in Burma.
There's a rule in Burma. It was a police state. When you slept at another person's house, you had to register with local authorities. It was a way of tracking where everyone lived and slept. There was a perception of spies and informers everywhere. There were spies and informers everywhere. This book opens with the story of a young man, of Nwe, the titular rebel, getting chased out of Rangoon by an intelligence agent for no reason that he really knows. He's a political activist, but there's no particular charge behind it. But as a result of it, it meant he could never go home, and he had to go underground, which means hiding in the streets of Rangoon.
One of the things I found going to repressive countries is that as an outsider, you can't always feel what's happening to people who live there. When you first went to Burma, could you feel what it was like to be in this closed society? Was it that obvious?
Yes. First of all, I had to go in undercover. Foreign journalists were not allowed in. People were extremely open to talking to foreigners, extremely happy to discussing their lives. But the minute you asked a direct question about politics, they would shut up like clams. So when I had a chance to try to track down young political activists, and suddenly they were very open and direct about talking about politics, it said to me that these are people who have a certain courage or something in them that allows them to have the confidence to speak openly about something that if informers were to hear, they'd be arrested, picked up, thrown into prison.
Sorry. One of the really incredible things about these people that you write about is just what they give up to be activists, right? They can't have, for the most part, they can't have real lives. They can't go to college in many cases. They can't get married and have families. I mean, Aung San Suu Kyi, the most famous Burmese activist, had a family until she didn't. And then she was by herself. What does it take to live a life like this?
I think it takes a great sense of duty. And to the people in this book, I would constantly ask them, well, why do you do this? Why are you willing to live this kind of life? And the answer was always, well, it's just what we have to do. Courage is a kind of byproduct when you face these sorts of situations.
Does anyone come to this with a sense of, I don't know, being a hero? Is it completely a selflessness? Is there some sort of romanticization of dissidents?
There's an element of adrenaline, I think, that comes from knowing that you're doing work that's secret and underground. But no, for the most part, what I witnessed were people who were constantly telling me, I'm not important, I'm nothing, I'm nothing. In fact, the main character of this book, he asked me to keep his name pseudonymous, not because he's not actually inherently recognizable to the people around him. When they read this book, they'll know exactly who it is. It's the fact that he didn't want his name out there because he just didn't want to be seen as a hero. And he wasn't sure how I'd depict him in this book, and I don't depict him as a hero. I deliberately try to show all the other shades of gray that it takes to do this kind of work, and I think it's not always clear. Is he a hero? Is he an anti-hero? Is he a businessman selling out his friends to arrest? He had to lie even to people around him about the work that he was doing. Sometimes they couldn't talk openly to each other. They work in a half light of miscommunication, relying on fragmentary information. No one could really be entirely open with each other.
Things have opened up to some extent. And in fact, a general election is scheduled now to take place in November this year. What role do dissidents play now in this nominally democratic process?
The dissidents of this book, I think, are a very great force to be reckoned with looking forward. Now that they have a touch more space, an ability to speak out openly, they are pushing very, very hard at the confines of the state, of what they're able to do, and they're acting out in the open. In fact, there was talk just yesterday of some of the most famous icons of the big uprising that happened in Burma in 1988. They spent the next 20 years revolving in and out of prisons. Talk of them becoming a political party. It's not clear if they will. Now they want to be contesting in these elections, even though they know that the constitution under which they're being held is highly flawed. They want to be part of the process and they want their voices heard. And we'll be seeing a lot of that in the forthcoming elections.
Delphine Trank was the Burma correspondent for The Washington Post. Her new book is called The Rebel of Rangoon, A Tale of Defiance and Deliverance in Burma. And Delphine, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.